It started worrying me a great deal, and that's when I started moving back on steps, when I got to that place. That's 2.5 years. Step one and step two are really big steps. There's a lot to them. But I believe that so long as the alcoholic has an understanding about alcoholism and how it affects your mind and how it affects your eyes and your ears, then you stand a chance getting into steps admitting that you're powerless over alcohol and sincerely know what that is. Just what an alcoholic is. A lot of guys can't even describe an alcoholic. Can't tell you what an alcoholic is. We used to say if somebody drinks as much as you do, no, you don't like them. And he's an alcoholic, you ain't. But an alcoholic is not behind Skid Row, you know that. He's not behind billboards and all that kind of things. But he's caught up with alcoholism regardless of where he's at. Or she's at. It doesn't make any difference. So to be free and to start this way of life, I believe that you have to go through this process. Or in the maybe I got maybe that doesn't hasn't heard everything I said to you so far, or more yet. Sometimes they say, what the hell are you gonna get off step 1 and 2? I said, well, when you tell me you know much about it as I do, and then we'll go to the next one. And that's when we go to the next one. And they can repeat back to me these things I've been talking to you about, that I know at least he stands a chance. Because of his knowledge about alcoholism, not because of alcohol. The unmanageable life, I don't know what you consider an unmanageable life. A lot of guys and gals in AA, and I'm not judging anybody, I don't need to. A flat tire would make you have an unmanageable life. Slamming doors, pushing someone, doing all kinds of things, swearing, cussing, thinking bad. Never once hooking it up with step two. Never once thinking they're back there doing their own thing. An unmanageable life would be any kind of a life today. I got an 11-year-old daughter. She won't clean a bedroom. I'd have an unmanageable life tonight when I went out of the house. You gotta see that bedroom. You wouldn't believe it. You know? She's gonna clean it though one of these days. I don't know where that is. And the only thing I could do is recognize where I'm at. Not where she's at, not what she's doing. But what I could be doing to myself so easy is to let go and grab a hold of the reins again and demand out of her something that would hurt us all. That would give me an unmanageable life again. You know, if I got time, the reason why I want to read a little bit to get you started. And any of this stuff that I'm telling you now, if you disagree with it or anything else like that, it's perfect, or it doesn't bother me a bit. But I know this, that it's helped me so much for so long now that I can't miss it. It's mine. It belongs to me. God gave it to me. It's mine. I'm going to keep it. And so what it says in here was so important for me to understand and know, because this, Jim's book's mine too. Step two is in the book, as far as I'm concerned. And it starts after ABCs, but not the first paragraph here, because this here is claiming about step three, because it said that God could and would if you saw it. It says, being convinced we were on step three, which is that we decide to turn our will and life over to God as we understood it. Just what we mean by that is just what we do. Then step two starts, because over here on page 63, it says over here, we are now at step three. You're going to start. So in between here, 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 and right here, this is step two. This is what I was taught, this is what I believe, this is what I'm speaking about.
So you tell us pages and paragraphs again, right after C on page 60, right?
Yeah, it says there, there's a paragraph that says, being convinced we were at step three.
Okay.
Not that, because they're telling you there about step three. It says the first requirement starts step two.
Okay.
It ends over on 53 where it says, we were now at step three.
Okay.
Okay. Now here's what I do when I work with babies, and be in hospitals or any place else. I get a man on a 1-to-1 basis, and I'll have him read this and reread it until he knows it damn near by heart, or he does know it by heart. Now the only reason for that is so that he will be able to identify, be aware of himself when he's caught up in his unmanageable life. Because what it tells you in here is pretty clear to almost anybody. I've never had anybody not understand what it's saying here. Here. up to here. And what they're talking about here and there, we could go into that, we should go into that and read it all, or maybe not now, I don't know. What time is it now? Good.
19 after.
Okay, so how long do you have to go?
15 minutes.
You have 15 minutes?
Well, you have as long as you want.
Well, no, that's okay. Well, the reason why, let me tell you, this is so important to me for letting you know, at least, whether or not you accept it or whether you believe it or not is not important. But it might help you, like it helped me, get past a point of self which was bothering me and stopping me and making me have troubles in steps, in the application. I was always out in front. I was always doing the things I shouldn't do. I was just like defects. I was doing these things I shouldn't do. And so in here, it gave me an edge on myself to recognize and be aware of me when I'm up to my own tricks, especially here in the home. I've been taught in Alcoholics Anonymous by a sponsor that was a real good man, that if I didn't begin my Alcoholics Anonymous program in my own home, I didn't have one. And that made sense after I found out about what I'm talking about now. Because where would you start this way of life? At a meeting? At work? Somewhere there? Never worked. Never happened. Because you'd be leaving up a part of your life that should be worked on more than wherever you're going. Because this is where your home is. This is where your heart is. This is where your life is. And also, this is where the person that you did, or at least I hurt the most, was. The rewards I received from God because of this, then I have the principles in my life because He puts them there. They don't come from meetings, they don't come from the book. They come from God only because God allows me to have that. It says the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run of self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody. Even though our motives are good, most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show. Is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful in trying to make these arrangements. Our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have various traits. What usually happens, the show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself more. He becomes, on the next occasion, still more demanding or gracious as the case may be. Still, the play does not suit him. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault, he is sure that other people are more to blame. He becomes an angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is the basic trouble? Is he not really a self-seeker, even when he's trying to be kind? Is he not a victim of delusions that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if he only manages well? It is not evident to all the rest of the players that these things are things he wants, and do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all he can get out of the show? Is he not even in his best moments a producer of confusion rather than harmony? Our actor is a self-centered, egocentric, as people like to call it nowadays. He is like the retired businessman who loafs in the Florida sunshine in the winter, complaining of the sad state of the nation, the minister who sighs over the sins of the 20th century, politicians and reformers who are sure all would be utopia if the rest of the world would only behave, the outlaw safecracker who thinks society is wrong, and the alcoholic who has lost it all is locked up. Whatever our protestations are, most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, our self-pity. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that's what we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that sometime in the past we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must get rid of this selfishness. We must or it will kill us. God makes that possible. And there are often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us have moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. This is the how and the why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter, just drive our life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal, and we are his agent. He is the father, we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose the fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. Then it says, now we are in step three. Now, I don't know if this means anything to you what I read, but if you would read that, reread it, so that when you get caught up in your own life with a thinking process that fits any part of that or identifies with it, you stand a chance of stopping it. Because in the very next step is why step three is in the position it's in. Because of two, not because of you admitting you're an alcoholic, sure, you have to do that to come in here. But to find out what the hell you're doing here and why you're here, you come from an unmanageable life. If you're an alcoholic, each and every one of us did to some degree or another. Some were real bad, some were not so bad, but they were all bad enough to bring you here. Not to identify with an unmanageable life or not to be concerned with it in sobriety means that you'll do like I used to do it in 2.5 years, drive a car and run you out of the road. Want to kill you. Mean it. That's not right. The person that got hurt the most, all of us, was me. I kept getting more and more and deeper into my own stuff, my own unmanageable life, sober. Never having a chance even to begin to make steps, begin to make anything at all, either promises or whatever. I wasn't aware that that had anything to do with the 12 steps, the step two, of what I was doing that day. I was mean, mad, angry, hostile, wouldn't trust nobody, looking for trouble all the time, pushing and shoving, never once wanting to be a friend to anybody, never once thinking that I had to be. This beginning here in an unmanageable life from step one, I don't know if it makes very much sense to you. I don't know. I don't know how your life is. I know how mine is. I know that I drive a car today, and if God isn't with me, I still drive the same way they used to. I've been an unmanageable life now. Even though I know better. I can't stop it. I can't turn my damn head on it. I can't get it out of gear. When it's alone, by God, it goes right in gear and goes off this wilder hell. Tells me funny things. And I'm back there. But I'm aware of it. Immediately, I get out of there and I have a way out. How much this makes for you and how important it is for you, I don't know. I don't know how your days, how many hours or minutes you lose out of a day because of self or because of an unmanageable life, because of alcoholism, because of the thinking process going on inside of you. But you have to, you must do something about it. You can't go on living and find anything at all in a way of life that's promised to you in Alcoholics Anonymous. To walk in B3 through that arch of triumph and freedom to pass through. No way. There you can. Because it says there, he is the Father. We are his children. We stop thinking more of other people and less of self. That's a beginning. Right now, it's a beginning. Maybe you know all this. I don't know. I know it. I know what it means to me to take a hold of the reins today, to get worried, get concerned to the point where I have to
I have to make things, I have to arrange, I have to make it happen, I have to change things to a point where I have no business at all. I have none whatsoever. I found a way of life in Alcoholics Anonymous because of steps. There's no way to describe the difference to you from the way I was to the way I am right now. But believe me this, the way I am right now is where I want to be. And that's really important. So maybe I'll put on that and go from there, okay?
Yeah, come and get cake.
Yeah, come and get cake.
Good news. When you talked about the alcohol, you know, step one for me was admitted I was powerless over alcohol, and that brought me to the Voice of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then the ism of alcoholism is something that I've had all my life. Alcohol is certainly a part of that, but eliminating alcohol from it didn't necessarily eliminate all the problems that went along, you know, with it. I still had the alcoholism. And the unmanageable life part, my life was, I thought, more unmanageable certainly when I was drinking. A lot of things happened, you know, that were very, I could put my finger on and say that happened because of alcoholism and that happened because of alcoholism. But I think what I have a problem with, and maybe you can, you know, help me on it, what I got out of what you said is that the steps, and especially steps one and two that we talked about tonight, get us out of the ism of alcoholism, or it keeps us away from the alcohol?
No. Step one, remember what I read, the way the 12 by 12 puts it, that to take step one, to be able to know that little good could come to any alcoholic who joins AA unless he first accepted his devastating weakness and all its consequences. But see, remember in the beginning the doctor's opinion, and then it went into about the solution. And then it goes into more about alcoholism, you know. To have that kind of knowledge about alcoholism, and now to say alcohol doesn't mean that you get sober, you haven't got the problem, because you do have the problem. You've got a problem of thinking. And the stick of thinking got you drinking. You're drinking, they get you stick of thinking. So you understand that?
Yeah.
So that means that when you got here, to stay here, you have to admit defeat. To admit defeat means that you accept the statement, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. If you don't do that, you'll hold back, you'll couple up some kind of thinking like you just got through describing. That and go off down the line and then get so shook up and so your alcoholism will say, well, put a couple of shots of that coffee, you know, you've got a full stomach and you're okay, you know. And you really will, the alcoholism, you gave no fight, the book tells you, you're defenseless against the first drink. The reason why they tell you all of that before chapter 5 is for knowledge. And this is all I try to do now, is to let you know about steps. And the order they're in and why they're there so that you can put them into your life as an application, see? And then you don't have to be that man that you were or are. See? Now, it says here too that until he so humbles himself, his sobriety, if any, will be precarious. Of real happiness, he will find none at all. See, and right from the word go, the attraction I seen within a man that was a happy man, a good man, a man that whistled, he talked about fine things, good things, happy things, and he was working, he was carrying 150 pounds of ice on his shoulder and all that stuff. His life was beautiful to him. And to me, I seen that. I didn't identify it or recognize it or know what it was, other than the fact that he was different than me. And he talked different, acted different. Then I got to found other guys like that too. So if you yourself don't identify with alcohol to the point of living with alcoholism as a thinking process, and knowing this, and when you got into steps, that means that you're going to be thinking with alcoholism maybe tonight, right now. You certainly did when you got here. And you kept it for I don't know how long when you got rid of it. Something must have taken place in you. Something took its place. So that's what steps are about. So you better know all you can about alcoholism so that when the unmanageable life part and sobriety happens to you, you won't blame it on something else. I don't know. There's a saying in step 10, the one I'm telling you, and these will blow me away all the time, you know. Well, you don't today, but because I know better. I know what it is. I know what it means. I know all about it, you know. And that's that spiritual axiom, you know. It's pretty hard for an alcoholic to swallow that.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Because when you understand what it says, then whenever something disturbs us, that's an alcoholic. No matter what the cause, we are at fault. That's pretty hard to swallow. So, said more, I don't know if, is there anything that's been said tonight, that I said tonight, that made any difference to you about alcoholism, about yourself, about admitting when you admitted you were that you're powerless over alcohol, did that bring anything to you into your thinking or anything to your life?
Yeah, before I drank after a period of sobriety because I didn't understand at that time I believed what alcoholism was. I believed that I was powerless over alcohol, but I didn't know about alcoholism. And now I know that I'm powerless over alcohol. I know that if I go down to the liquor store and I pick up a bottle and I put it in my system, that I will have no, I can't predict my behavior. I could be nice, I could have a great night, or I could kill myself or someone else in a car accident. I have no idea. It's a roll of the dice. The thing that I have trouble with sometimes is my alcoholism. I've heard you refer to untreated alcoholism. People that come to the program and they stay sober, they don't put alcohol in their body, but they still have alcoholism.
Right.
And I guess what I'm trying to do, and part of my reason for being here tonight, is that I don't want to live with untreated alcoholism.
Right.
I believe I did before, and I became the man that I once was, and I drank again. And so I don't want that to happen. Now, is there anything in step one or step two that is key? I know there's a lot of things that are key to understanding your alcoholism, what it's about, and how to not let it run your life back out through the doors of AA drinking again.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. In step four, probably there would be more of the time to talk about it. But the reason why I keep saying about alcoholism is that the beginning of the steps. If I told you about ego. And the way I learned about ego is strictly my own life and then Dr. Tebow's teachings of ego and what it is and what it does to an alcoholic. See, but I don't think it's something to be concerned with right now because it's going to come anyway in the steps. If you get deep into ego about it, you might miss the whole point about alcoholism because each and every one of us, when we get here, our ego has been smashed to the greatest of depths. In our own lives, whatever the depths are, might be maybe 5 years or less than years or whatever. So to get into that, we're going to get into something else that goes along with alcoholism. See? And alcohol, alcoholics anonymous, and everything else. But that'll come in the steps, and I think it should come after four, after defects are identified or why they're there. See? Because ego will kill you, you know. The way Dr. Tebow puts it, the ego has marvelous recuperative powers.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you a lot right there. But that's later. I think if you could identify with your past track record, with alcohol, why, how you got here, and then believing, looking into alcoholism so that it's conscious in your mind of what alcoholism is, so that you're aware of it when you're doing it. And yet, let me tell you, all you have to do is drive your car, get upset, see somebody else park wrong, back up wrong, not start off fast enough. And if it disturbs you in any sense of the word, or if a train goes by and makes you wait 5 minutes, you got an advanced alarm. There's something wrong with you. Yeah.
I'll see that I'm an alcoholic. You really helped me out tonight because I feel my area, my life, my home. I feel like I've really been applying steps here, so I feel like I'm on a good path. And but there's one area of my life that is so unmanageable, and I hadn't seen it in those. I've been away from the steps in this area, and it's been my work, my area of work. And what it is that for 20 years it's gone my way. And this is the 20th year, and for the first time in about 20 years, things aren't going my way, and I don't have any control over them. And I have just been a wreck because of it. I came home today crying because it's just not going my way, you know, and poor me, and I'm burnt out, and if only this would change, then I'd be okay, you know. And I've seen right now, one more time, how I'm so self-centered that it's unmanageable, and all I have to do is do God's work well, because this is what's in front of me, so this is what I'm supposed to be doing, this is what God wants me to do, and become less and less interested in myself and my plans and what I want, and become more interested in seeing what I can contribute to that job, because I haven't been doing my best, because I haven't liked it. And so I have not been doing my best job. I know that when I go and I see what I can do to add to, that I do get out of myself and that life goes, everything is okay. And I haven't been able to see that until just tonight. But now my question is that, now I see the word here, what I want to know is everything going to instantly supposed to get good? Because I know this, I see here it says began, and we felt new power flow in and more. To me, that says that it's going to come if I do what I'm supposed to do. But am I doing something wrong if I go and I have a slip in attitude or something like that? I mean, well, yeah, I would be doing something wrong, but
yeah,
I'd have to just keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah, that's the next step. See, right now, the only thing you're doing right now is you're identifying with an alcoholic, identifying with a program of recovery,
mm-hmm.
so that he can do the things that are necessary so he can change to be a different character than he is. See, that's what happens to you. I'm not the same man who walks through the door. I'm a different character entirely, but only because of this what we're talking about. See? So the knowledge in step one, in step two, you don't do anything, really. There's nothing to do. When you read, you go to meetings, you listen to stuff like that. But as far as an action step, as far as even like in four, you know, all you do is take a piece of paper and pencil is all you're doing, the thinking little process. You're still not doing very much, you know. And so what you're doing, you're learning. It's like learning ABCs, you know. You're starting here now in step one. If you have the knowledge about alcoholism, if you have the knowledge about a manageable life, these things are in your head as an application to do something about it, because when you get to where you're supposed to be, you'll have the power to do it. Right now, you don't have that kind of power to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in that place.
Well, I came home, and I got down on my knees, and
well,
I said...
You are. I didn't mean to say you don't do that. I meant to say it's like we're starting steps from 1 to 12. So in the position of 1 and 2, you have to look at it as a new 1 and 2. You're learning what I know. Whether you know it already or not isn't important to me. What is important is what I say, so that maybe if something can be added to your life because of the program of recovery that you didn't know or didn't have. Now, the next step, you're coming up to what you're talking about.
Which step?
That's right.
Okay.
See, that starts the basis of your recovery program. You just admitted the power of alcohol. You just identified and maybe agreed with an unmanageable life. Then you go up to 3 for another reason. That's why 3 is in the third position. Couldn't be anyplace else. So we'll do 3 then.
Does that mean I can have a bad day until next week? Good. I enjoy that.
You know, it's a funny thing. You could this program recovery of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, it's so big and it just grows so tremendous, you know. But it grows only in the day you're in with God, see. So there's no limits. If you limit your God, let me tell you this ahead of time. I heard it said tonight, the first part of the evening. If you want to limit your God, you go ahead and do that. But I ain't going to do that. See, if you tell somebody that he has to wait 90 days or go to 90 meetings in 90 days, see if you like the program or something like that, all you're doing is telling them, suffer for another 90 days, leave God out of your life for another 90 days, try to make it on your own and see if you make it. Or if you don't make decisions, don't make no commitments the first year. All you're doing is telling the person, man or woman, keep the God out of your life for a year and suffer for another year. Don't let your God work in your life. Limit your God. You ain't going to do that to me. I won't allow you to do that. And if I hear somebody tell you that, I'll tell them different. Because if they got the right to voice their opinion, I got the right to voice my opinion. And I said before, I'm no authority. Only you have my mind because of that. God works today in your life only because you're with Him today in your life. If you want these steps and all that's in it, all you have to do is go to God. Tell Him that. Expect that from Him and try to live by His power and His years. You can't miss. No way. But if you want to run the show, if you can't identify with an unmanageable life, if you don't have the knowledge of steps, the reason they're there, and what they're saying to you, if you don't have that kind of knowledge, you're going to have to do your own thing. And if your own thing brought you here, why are you still doing it? If your own thing damn near killed you like it did me, why are you hanging on to it for? Why can't you tell another man you're wrong? That you thought wrong, did wrong. Why can't you do that? It'll free you. It'll make you a better person in your eyes. I don't know how he thinks, but it freed me. I don't have to go to bed that night and lay awake just because I said something cockeyed or somebody didn't mean it or did mean it. All the teachings of these steps are there for an alcoholic because he's got alcoholism. His brain is really a funny thing. The goddamn thing can see the world and all that's in it. He can own cars, homes, wives, kids. But he's got an unmanageable life because he can't see that. He's worrying about something that doesn't have a damn thing to do with his life today. And he'll wreck and tear the place apart just because to prove a point. Why should he do that? Why should he create all the trouble in a sobriety, in a life that's beautiful, without the booze? His mind is not fogged. He don't know any better. He's uninformed. He's like I was. He's ignorant. Ignorant and uninformed. That makes him an agnostic. All you have to do is try it. Try anything I said. If it works for you, keep it. If it don't work for you, don't do it. But at least try it. At least think that way till you can deny it. I can't deny it. All of these things are mine. I'm no preacher. I do the things in my life because of what it's done for me. I'm first. I have to be. I've always been this way in AA. I used to argue with anybody. I don't care who they are. I'd argue to prove AA. Because I thought they were hurting me or hurting you. And I'd tell them different. Today I don't have to prove myself like that. It's not necessary. The words that I speak, I believe God gives me these words. I pray for these words to do His will. To let you know this is real. This is the truth. If you like it. If it's a part of your life that really turns you on, it makes you better to yourself. God, don't lose it. Go for more. Go for broke. Man, I found out that all I have to do is go for the whole damn picture today. Not just a part of it, not just a little bit of it, or a little bit somewhere else. But everything that's in my life today, I look to it because God wants me to have it all. All I have to do is play the role with His power, and then I see and I am that person He wants me to be. And that's who I want to be anyway. This is real. This is the main event going on right now. This ain't no rehearsal for tomorrow, believe me. When tomorrow gets here, I'm going to start it all over again like I do. So this day today is the main event. Might as well get with it. Try reading a little bit more. If you're in doubts or if you've got any ideas that there's some questions there that you don't fully understand, I know darn well. You'll be reading the right words, the right page, and your answers will come to you just like that all the time. And there's no coincidence, no luck or anything else. I used to call everything lucky, luck. That's God's nickname. I didn't know it. I never gave him credit for nothing. Today he'll give him credit for everything. No matter what it is, he gets some credit. See, then I don't have to act like you were talking about. You lose faith and you have to operate alone. Don't try. Not necessary. Anyways, that's enough out of me.
To be suggestive only, we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Throw away the wreckage of the past, of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and we will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
He came back here for us.